You are listening to the Ice House Podcast, hosting conversations with gritty Kiwi business owners and leaders and industry-leading minds.
Welcome everyone to the Ice House Podcast. It's Briar here, Community Manager. It is awesome to have you joining us as we tune into Kieran Stokes' business story. Kieran is an owner-manager program alumni, and a line that she says early on in the podcast recording really sums her up. She says, "Life is so much better with a smile on your face." Kieran has a way of lighting up any room, telling me that it comes from a learning on how to fill your own cup to give your best to others. I love that. Her story is one of backing herself, finding fulfillment in balancing work, life, family, and play. And her experience at the Ice House that came at a really pivotal time for her within a health battle, giving her extra motivation to get through a very deep valley moment. Now she is on the other side, lapping up the Ice House community, the business community, post her owner-manager program experience, and is loving learning from others and gaining fresh insight regularly. Let's tune in to this inspiring conversation with Kieran Stokes now.
Awesome. Well, welcome, Kieran, to the podcast.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here in sunny Christchurch.
Oh, it's an amazing day out there. It's really nice to have the sunshine for people up and out of town who think it just rains down here.
I know, right? I came in, I was like, okay, yes, Christchurch is a good place. Yeah, no, it's awesome. We like to start the podcast with a very open question, and that is, tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you passionate about? What does life look like?
Life is busy. I think everybody's life is, we'll say that, but it's being out there, making the most of every minute. I definitely live by the mantra of being positive and living every day like it's your last. Mm-hmm. You just don't know what's around the corner, and I tend to get out there every day and try and do my very best, no matter what's on my plate, and every day can be completely different in my world. So yeah, I'm passionate about making a difference in people's lives, particularly, and seeing that in action rather than just doing it and leaving it there. I'd like to see the results, and I'm lucky that I work in healthcare where a lot of the time I can see that. Mm-hmm. But that's, yeah, I get a joy of other people's happiness, but in the process of that, I always remember that I always say I can't help anybody else if I can't help myself, so looking after myself is really important too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what.
You are a very positive, joyful person. You know, like as soon as someone sees you, I feel like you bring a bit of brightness to their day. So it's cool that that's sort of an intentional thing as well as just natural personality, right?
I think so. I mean, I like to be the positive person in the room. And if people can't, you know, if they're not, then it's my challenge of the day to make them happy and smiling.
I love that.
Yeah. And my workmates, I think, will say that, you know, I walk in and the whole place explodes when I walk in the door because, you know, everybody suddenly has to smile or listen to my bad jokes. So, but yeah, if I'm having a bad day, it's very easy to spot because it's hopefully very rare, but I soon crack out of it.
Yeah.
Life's much better with a smile on your face.
I love that. That's so cool. I want to go back to something you said just then. What was the process like, or has it always been a decision to make sure that your cup is full to be able to give out to others?
Yeah, that's a really good thing. I learned something a long time ago when someone compared life to the good old Air New Zealand safety video. It's like you can't help anybody, put anybody else's seatbelt onto you, have your own.
Oh, I like it.
Seatbelt, sorry, got that wrong.
Yeah.
Anybody's oxygen onto you, got your own.
And, yes.
That's the thing. Where I thought about it, it's like, yeah, if you aren't at your best, then how can you help somebody else? And, you know, it's all about leading by example and, you know, being the best you can be and showing that to people. And, you know, every day I've got to be a role model to my two children, and I'm very aware of what they take on themselves about what I do and how I do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no one's perfect, but that's my goal is if I can get out the door and feel like I'm doing something good, then I've got my foot halfway through the day. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's definitely something about other people, but as I said, you can't help other people. If you're not happy, you know, it's very much I see negative people just protrude negative feelings across people, and especially in a room. I work in a business where I've got 42 staff in a retail setting, and if somebody's having a rough day or somebody's not good, it spreads a lot quicker than anything. So I like to be the one who just flips the table and says, you know, well, let's make it, you know, if it's, something's going bad, let's make it good. And that's how, you know, I guess that's the world of healthcare, is that you're trying to turn bad into good all the time and make good better.
Yeah, wow, that's so interesting. I like hearing that. Thank you. We're getting an idea for what your life looks like. What does a day in the life of Karen look like?
Oh, gosh.
Alarm goes off.
Yeah, alarm goes off and I hit snooze now. Every day is different, to be honest. I don't work a 40-hour week. I haven't since I had my children. And then when my children started school, I became a solo mum as such. So I had to work my weeks around childcare. I always believed that if I had children that they were going to be my my job, and so I've worked around school. So when they're at school, I work, and when they're not at school, I'm around for them.
Awesome.
So I leave work every day and say, right, back to my second job, and I do have two full-time jobs as such. So work, I have a couple of rostered days where I'm in the dispensary. I'm obviously a pharmacist. So I work with my team as part of the team. I employ myself on those days, and I'm just an employee like everybody else, and I love it. I absolutely love being at that level. I don't have my owner hat on. I don't have my manager hat on. I have a manager who looks after me.
Wow.
I had to text her this morning to make sure I can get some time off next week for something. I love that. That's I think really important, that it brings me back to reality, and what I love most about my job is just doing it some days, you know. And I think I'm very lucky that I can just do it, and some days, and then other days I particularly want to work on my business, so I'm available to cover staff if they're off. I'm available to go and do extra learning, or to do some teaching outside, or to go to Ice House, or whatever I want to do. So I'm very, very lucky that I've made myself accessible like that, and I've worked really hard to do that over the last few years.
Yeah.
It could be easy just to say I'm going to go back and work 6 days a week and be on the roster and, you know, earn my wages, but to me, business work and life is more than just money in the bank at the end of the week. It's about getting that balance right. So yeah, getting back to my normal day, depending what I'm doing, but if I'm working, I usually go to the gym first while the kids are still asleep in the morning, and then get back just to wake them up and get them out of bed and off to school, and then I will drive them to work, and then I will be back in time to do the after school Uber mum duties, dance and whatnot to be done, and yeah, I try and fit in a few extracurricular things around that. I, in the past, been on volunteering committees with parenting networks and things. I have I belong to a book club. I spend time with my kids' sport and fundraising for trips and things like that with them. And I have family that are relatively close. So I like to spend time catching up with them. But yeah, it's always, every day's different. If it was a normal day, I think I'd be bored. But yeah, I do like the ability that I can have given myself a little bit of flexibility in my life to be able to do what I want to do and be available for people when I can, rather than being a 40-hour week person.
What a beautiful life.
It's taken a while. Like, I feel like I'm 21, but yeah, this year I've been, I'm turning 50 this year, so I've decided that that's where I want to look at, not where I've been, but where I'm going, and spend the next 10, 15 years of my career, maybe more, really giving back to myself and doing what I really, really want to do, and not just doing the same old, because I get in the car some days and think, you know, what are we trying to achieve this week? Are we just trying to get to Friday and the kids are eating their lunch every day, and you know, neither of them have been working in school, and, you know, and I've got to work, and, you know, or we actually got a goal here, and it's like, I've really thought about that a lot, particularly in the last couple of years, about goals and integrating my personal goals with my work goals, I guess ISAS was something that led to that, a real awakening around that.
Following from that, like, what are some of those goals, or what's that sense of purpose that is driving?
I mean, I spent a long time just going to work, as you do, and I think the realisation now is that I don't just have to go to work. I can, you know, that whose goals am I achieving when I go to work? Am I achieving my personal goals? Am I achieving my workplace goals? And, you know, what do I want to get out of my week? And I've looked at it and gone, well, actually, what can I give? What's going to fill my bucket at the same time as filling other buckets? You know, it's not just a one-way streak. I've got to do two things. And so I worked really hard at, I've got a business mentor now who is amazing, who challenges me constantly, you know, about all my thoughts around my personal goals, because as I said before, if you haven't got those right, you can't give any other way. And then how that integrates into my my workplace, to my strategy around my business going forward, goals, 5-10 year goals, where I want to be, what the dreams are. And and I think every day I do a journal. I've never thought I'd do this. Thanks to Mr. Resilience Sven. I do spend a lot of time going, you know, what's today's goal? You know?
Yeah.
And it's not just getting to the end of the day, which already it used to be. And it's like just a little bit more, you know, that little 1% better and all those things. I think I've thought more radically about the decisions I make, and it's like, you know, am I buying something because I want it or need it? And all those things have suddenly become a bit more clearer now.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of maturity and things as well. But, I just want to be able to get to the end of the week and have a smile on my face and say, look, hey, I did my best, and we're all still alive.
Yeah. Winning.
That's a real family goal in my household. It can be a challenge some weeks, other weeks, you know, we fly. So
wow, that's really inspiring. I love hearing that, and just hearing that it's centred around that deeper purpose, right?
Yeah.
Because you're so right. You can just go through life getting to a Friday and going, oh, cool, we did it.
Yeah, wages are in the bank.
Yeah.
Just pay them for the groceries and move on to next week.
Move on to next week. But that's not quite a beautiful life, is it? Yeah, exactly. But so many people do live like that, and so it's cool to break them off.
For some people, that ticks their goals.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. And for me, it's like I've never been one to rest my laurels as such. And when I get a moment, I travel. I have a real passion for great food and travel, and I'll do it on my own if I have to. I will jump on a plane and go to the Gold Coast for the weekend and visit a friend. And, you know, if my kids are away with their dad, I have them for 24 out of 30 nights a month. So I have, and it sounds like a lot when people say you've got weekends without your kids, but like when you've only got 6 nights, you've really got to make the most of them.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things you can do in 6 nights, but there's a lot of things you can't do. And I've learned that to really embrace those nights. You know, you can't sit at home and cry about, you know, woe is me. Get out there and make the most of those nights, because you need your energy back for when the kids are there. You know, I will, and I've got friends, you know, who are married with kids, and like, oh, you know, we never get a break, or we never go on holiday. I'm like, that's, you've got to make this in goals. If you don't, you know, on paper, you know, I shouldn't be able to take my kids to Fiji every year, you know, but I work really hard to make sure that that's one of our goals. So that's what my kids love doing, that's my break, and I make sure, you know, that that's a priority.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to earn $1 million a year to do it.
And
I just, you know, it's not about what your capacity is banking wise. It's, you know, it's about making goals, and you can achieve anything on anything if you want to. You just got to make it your goal.
Yeah, and put your mind to it, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Work towards it. Yeah, yeah, that's so interesting. Okay, this convo is good. I'm loving this. This is a good dose of daily inspiration for me. I want to hear a bit about the journey to ownership of Life Pharmacy. What is that whole, what does that look like? Obviously, you're a pharmacist and you're passionate about it.
I decided when I left school that I wanted to go to university. I was ducks of my school.
Wow.
Well, that's the funny thing. When I went to university, I had a very funny nickname my first year at university. I was called the dumbest ducks, because I came from a small country school, which is amazing, and I led a full life through school, and, you know, I was going out every weekend and rugby trips with my boyfriend, and I was, you know, going to school all week. I got top marks at school, and I left, by the time I left home at 17, which was quite young, I had a pretty full life. I wasn't, you know, just straight out of school. I'd been doing stuff, and so when I got to university, I was kind of, well, I consider myself relatively worldly by that point compared to some, and got to uni, and everyone's like, oh, Karen's going to smash uni, you know, she can do med. I'm like, nah, I don't want to do med. Well, my first year was a wee bit of a failure, and as far as exams went, and I didn't get into pharmacy school. I had a great year, and so I did a couple of years, and I became the first graduate with a BSc in pharmacology. So we're still going down the same name, but they just decided in my third year that they were going to offer pharmacology as a major. So I jumped onto the bandwagon, which is sort of a picture of things to come. I'm a person who sees a little bit of an opportunity, and I do like to take risks and be at the front of ideas. If something's out there, I tend to jump on, and, you know, and a lot of the time it works, but a lot of the times, you know, it's prepared that it won't work. So I jumped on that, did my degree, thought, no, I want to go back to pharmacy school. I was 19, I had a degree, but nobody wanted a 19-year-old with a degree. So I went back to pharmacy school, got the dream job in Nelson when I finished pharmacy school. And, you know, everyone said, you know, this, my dad was a school teacher, and he's like, oh, if you can get a job in Nelson, it's like winning lotto. So I went to Nelson and lived up there for 7 years, worked my way through the pharmacy from being the intern out of uni right through to being a dispensary manager on a seven-day pharmacy. And then my partner and I moved to Christchurch. And I just followed as such and got a job. And when I was about 18 months into the job, the owner came up to me and he said, look, I'm looking at retiring in, you know, 10 years' time. I want to sell my shares off over a 10-year time and I want you to buy them.
Wow.
And I went, I don't want to buy them. What am I going to do with shares? It's like, I've got no money. And he's like, no, I'll finance you, and, you know, and you can buy shares. And I went home and I said, oh, I feel like I've been a bit railroaded into this. I didn't know if I really wanted to be an owner. I just wanted to go to work and earn some money. Wow. And, you know, I was in my early 30s, and there was three of us that he picked as such and told us that we were buying them, and so we did. So we went in, and the interest rates were horrendous in those days. Cost us a fortune. The bank manager said, what are you spending? Why are you paying so much for this? The lawyer and the accountant were like, you're crazy. And we were like, but he told us we had to. And we did. So we bought in 10% each for three of us, and he had 70, and we had a buyout over 10 years. So mm-hmm. I bought in up to 16.5% after 5 years, and then after 10-year point, we purchased his shares off him, and there was three of us that owned 33% each.
Wow.
So then I found myself fully into ownership. I mean, it was a slow ride into it. Very much a junior partner, just basically had a hat on more than any actual... I don't remember making a lot of decisions. I don't remember business plans. We just turned up to work in those days.
Yeah, yeah.
And we didn't make any money, but we just paid back the debt.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really until the last couple of years when we bought out the older owner and had the place ourselves that we've actually made some big decisions around what are we going to do. I did a leadership course through Green Cross Health and got my NZQA in leadership. And thought, bit of a taste of, you know, what I can do, but I, you know, I don't really do this on a day-to-day basis, but I quite like to. Mm. You know, I was still working relatively part-time after having my kids. And then, a couple of years ago, we bought out the third partner, so there's now just two of us.
Yeah.
So we've got a 50-50 ownership and really active owners now. So, like,
great.
We spend, and I said, look, I want to do Ice House, and this is where I want to, I need to, I always wanted to do an MBA, but it never happened. Mm. And so I thought, right, I need to look at things. And BNZ approached me and said, yeah, you should do Ice House. So that's where I got to Ice House. But awesome. I just wanted to be able to really put my best effort in with the business. And, you know, we always knew that we were never going to make – it's not a big money-making business, but it's about being a strong business in the space we're in, because it's a really, really tough space, retail and healthcare, and it's very dependent on government funding, and so, you know, it's not an easy place to be, but it's where my passion lies. And you know, I also wanted to test that passion. It's like, is this where my passion lies? You know, do I want to be doing this for the rest of my life, or do I, you know, do I want to go back and be the travel agent that I always wanted to be?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I want to give myself capacity to be able to choose, you know, what I do? And that's probably where I've kind of put my foot into the ownership model and thought, you know, this is giving me the ability to make the decisions in my life that I want to do. Like, if I wasn't an owner, I would be working 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
I would be a struggling solo mum, having to get childcare for my kids, who, you know, they're very lucky that they do have mum after school, but they moan and groan about it now. Imagine if they actually had to go to childcare. I think that's the path.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the path I took, but it's provided me in my lifestyle and my life that I've got now. No, you know, I wouldn't have any other way.
Mm, wow, what a story.
So yeah, that's my life story and a thing. But it's been a ride, and as I said, you know, there's so many people along the way that, you know, if my previous owner, who I'm still really good friends with and spend time with, he's now 87 and just retired himself.
Wow,
87. And you know, I owe a lot to him for just taking initiative and saying, sorry, Karen, you're not, there's no decision here. You've got to buy those shoes.
Yeah.
You know, you're in. And I was like, oh, you know, this wee 32-year-old is like, and then I made the very brave decision to finance it and do it under my own name as something I did. So when my relationship broke up 7 years ago, my business was clearly in my back pocket, which was made life so much easier. And, of course, it's now provided for me, giving me the ability to – to be able to carry on my life and have some financial stability going forward, which has been the best move ever.
Yeah.
You know, I see women, my friends will say to me, you know, if that had happened to me, I'd be on the street. And it's like, yeah, some of those decisions I made definitely help in the big picture of day-to-day stuff.
Mm.
And, yeah, so my kids think I just sell hair ties and they just want to buy makeup from me every day. But sometimes I think they're proud of me and sometimes I think they just, yeah, they wonder why I go to work some days.
Yeah. Oh, they'll get it one day. They will. That's so inspiring. What's a piece of advice that you would give yourself a bit of a heads up on, knowing what you know now?
Back yourself. Like, I really didn't back myself.
Yeah.
I had, you know, it was like, you're not going to be able to do this. And, you know, and then even right up until the last couple of years, I've been the one female out of two males. I always found all of the decisions that were made, I was always the good cop versus bad cop scenario, and I was the good cop, and the boys would make the hard decisions, and I would just go along with them. Whereas now I feel really empowered to make my own decisions and stand by them.
Great.
And I'll challenge every decision if I have to. But, yeah, I just really enjoy that ability to make a difference now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just it's been a real ride in that sense of going from just not having any confidence at all and taking the easy route, because it's always the easy way to go, isn't it? You know, and nothing's ever, you know, easy, no matter which way you go. And it was hard, and it will be hard, and there's times where I just wake up in the middle of the night in a hot sweat and go, I know, it's menopause. but, yeah, I generally, it's, you know, everyone says, oh, you're not stressed, you know, business owners should be stressed. It's like, well, I'm very lucky that I think I deal well with stress, and, I've never been one to lose sleep over things for longer than an hour or two.
Mm.
But I'm very much a realist, and if one door shuts, another opens, or, you know, there's always something around the corner. And, you know, some people like planning years ahead and things. And, yeah, I have my five-year goals and things, but I'm very much a reactive person. And I go, well, you know, we can plan for this, but what if this happens? You know, or, you know, we always, everything, my bank manager and my accountant are like, you know, you've got to have these budgets that roll over. And it's like, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 12 months. And I can tell you this and that and this. I said, but it's such, healthcare is such a wild world.
Mm.
You know, who knows that, you know, there'll be another outbreak of something, or something will happen, or we'll get a funding taken off us or given to us. Those things I cannot predict. You know, I can go on year by year, but there's so much unpredictability in our world.
Yeah.
And it's very much, it's very hard to put a growth model on that as well, because it's so much out of our hands. It's just, your growth model has to be in your head rather than on paper, in the sense that you just need to be really motivated to take an opportunity, take a risk, be at the forefront of anything that's out there, and just think a little bit out of the square, because if you stay in the square, you're just going to end up a dot.
And hasn't the last 4 years proven that, you know, in terms of, like, you can really predict what that was going to look like?
No.
Wow, that's really interesting, and ties in nicely, you know, the stance of, hey, I needed to back myself. What's some advice or tips for those that are struggling to back themselves?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. Yeah, especially women. And, I mean, when I bought into the pharmacy, it must have been about when we bought the owner out, so 7 years ago, the bank then challenged me and said, you know, can you do the survey? We'd think you'd be good for Ice House. And I looked at that and went through and did the whole survey. I went, out of my league. Not something I would be in my safe zone with. Talked about exporting and stuff. I'm like, I'm in retail. I count pills. This isn't me. But thanks a lot. You know, have a nice day. And then a couple of years later, just before COVID, it's me pre-COVID PC, I was approached again and said, you know, would you like to do it? And I was like, let me just line all my ducks up and see if it could work, knowing in my head that I'm very good at making excuses for some things. It's like, knowing I knew that it wasn't going to work, but I kind of thought, well, no, you've got to give it a look. You know, I was solo mum, care of my children who were only young. I was on an income of less than $30,000 a year. So I didn't have any capacity to finance it. I didn't have any capacity for time around my children. I'd have to rely on somebody else to look after them for me to be able to do it, which then became very, in my position, I felt very selfish. And I think women find making moves for themselves very, the first thing I think of, it's like, I can't do that, you know, my time and money goes to my family, not to me. Mm. So I found that was my biggest barrier, was that this is something that I can't do because there's other things that are needed in my life. So your time around my work, my children and money were the biggest barriers. And I was just about to make a decision, and I was sitting in my car and a phone call came from, I think it was, who was before Emon?
Gareth.
Yeah, he called me and he said, oh, have you thought any more about it? And I said, I'm just sitting in my car outside my specialist. And I said, I've just been diagnosed with cancer.
Wow.
And I went, he went, oh. I went, yeah. I said, melanoma, it's not good. I've got to go in hospital next week. And so maybe now's not a good time. Whoa. And I went, he's like, yeah, get back to me when you can. So that was my first curveball. So
wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I had a week from when it was diagnosed to when I was in hospital having surgery and nuclear medicine to have my nodes all checked and all those things. And that was just, yeah, that threw everything up in the air at the time.
That's huge.
Yeah, so, and then I was left off work trying to look after two kids. My parents were amazing. It's quite breathtaking when you're in your mid-40s and your parents have to move back in with you. Mm. But my mum and dad dropped everything and came and helped, and I was on an e-scooter for 6 weeks and driving myself into town every second day to get dressing changes and things. But and then the surgery eventually, the first time it failed, so I had to go back and have a re-surgery, which time my parents were in Italy on holiday. So I had the second time I really had to do it on my own. But we got there and the kids are amazing. So I think that's another point where you're suddenly being told that maybe Christmas time you might not be here.
Wow.
And, you know, and that's like a massive hit when you're waiting for those results and you're like, you know, is it going to be any worse than what it is? And, so luckily enough for me, my head spread to my nose and surgery went really well second time around. And, I was paranoid. I went to wear nice pretty shoes again because it was on my foot. Mm. But here I am with nice shoes on. And Catherine Wilson's.
Alumni.
And then that was my first throwback. And then that was another good thing in the sense of the good thing came out of that was like, wow, you know, life's short, let's do the stuff, you know, you want to do it, just do it, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll go to the bank, I'll get the finance, I'll stop my, you know, my coffees every week, whatever I have to do.
Yeah.
And our business isn't a big financial business, and so I had to fund ISIS out of my own funds, so yeah. I borrowed money to do it. I didn't take payment from work. I took leave from work, used my leave to go to the thing. So it was a real big call for
huge
me.
Commitment.
And, you know, my ex-partner was amazing. He said, look, you know, whatever you want, whatever you need for the kids, I'll make it work so you can do it. So he said, I know this is your passion. I know that you'd be amazing. And awesome. I was like, well, you know, that's a really big help knowing that I could just get up and go to Auckland every month.
Yeah.
And so I did. I lined everything up and got a couple of scholarships, which was amazing. And great. And that process, that was my first step of meeting people. Like, you know, when I did my interviews for scholarships, I met Rosemary from the Canterbury Business Network. And, mm-hmm. you know, and people like that just start going, well, actually, I can do this stuff. You know, yeah. I'm not out of my league. I'm not in the wrong place. This is where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And boom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And just then, taking a moment to soak that in. That's a huge story.
So when I walked into the first day at Ice House and Liz bowled up to me and gave me a hug and goes, g'day, I'm Liz. And I was like, oh, this lady's full on. She's awesome. And yeah, and then Chris and Raymond were there. And I was in a group of 15 and two women out of 15. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you know, suddenly felt empowered by that. I was like, I'm going to show these boys. And then I sat down and it's like, oh, these boys will know this stuff. And but, you know, It was the most amazing experience, and literally I couldn't get on that plane quick enough every month to go to Auckland. I absolutely loved it, and there's the set we talk about alumni being family, and it's, to me that's another word for family now, because those guys and girl on my group I literally rely on every week. We talk every week, we all share our highs, our lows, our wins, our losses, and just having that group of people outside my business. Like, normally the only people I've ever come across are people in pharmacy and healthcare.
Mm,
you know, my networks
course.
Were so
yeah
so close that I walked into a room where all of them, I think there was one person in retail, the rest of them were all in B2B, they're all, some of them were exporting, some of them had, I mean, and there was so diverse. There was people who had inherited their family business, there was people who bought it for a, you know, a nickel and turned it into a million, there's people that paid a fortune for it and were struggling.
Yeah.
No one in the room you know, had the same story.
Mm.
And everybody was on the same working, on the same level, that we all went to work, we all came home at night, we all went to bed, we all had families relied on us, and at the end of the day, we're all the same, you know. And that was a real moment for me going, you know, we talked about imposter syndrome and you know, that before, and I'm like, you can put labels on things, but the reality is that we are just all doing the same stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just what we want to get out of it and how we do that on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, what I call a win for me might be a different win for somebody else, or, you know, and I learned very quickly that the comparisons weren't what was on paper or what was in the finances or what was in the, you know, in the glossy websites. It was just in the people.
Yeah.
And it is all about the people.
Wow. Yeah. I'm really taken back by this. Like, this is amazing. Do you think the cancer moment made you jump on the Ice House opportunity?
Absolutely. It was just, I think it was the phone call. It was all about timing. I mean, I literally was sitting in my car at some of the specialists, and when Gareth rang, and I'm like, you're the first person I've told this to, because I literally just found out. And he's like, oh, and of course, you know, it's a sidebar, right? But it's like, actually, that was probably the best thing, was that phone call, because I suddenly, that was my little cherry to, like, go for. It's like, right, when I get through this, which I will, I'm going to start, you know, I've got 20 years of my career. I'm not just going to count pills. I'm not just going to do what I've always done. I'm going to do what I can do and actually get out the door every day and do what I really want to do. And it's like,
wow, thank you so much for sharing that. Like, that really, you know, sometimes it is those big moments in life that makes us get a bit of perspective on how short life can be and how we just need to run after things and back ourselves.
Absolutely. And you, as I said, you just don't know what's around the corner. And,
you
know, I live for the day. I, you know, I must admit I'm not the best person at, you know, I mean, I save money and things like that, but I do live for the moment because of that sole reason. It's like, I just see people who save things for a rainy day, and my mum always said, you know, use the casserole dish, don't put it away in the cupboard. And it's like, you know, that's what it's there for. If you're going to do it, because you know, that's what life's about.
That's so awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
What's
something that, so you've gone on the Ice House journey, maybe let's chat about that for a little bit. So we know how you connected with the Ice House. What were some key takeaways? Obviously, you were loving it. You enjoyed jumping on
the plane. I mean, it was all of us sort of got there, and there was this buzz in the room when we walk in. Everyone's like, it's so cool to get you. And it was interesting because, you know, there's 15 people in the room, and 15 people in different worlds, and you're not all going to be each other's, you know, best mate. And I remember something. I went to a ladies' night out years ago, and someone said to me, you know about the lickable third. And I was like, the lickable third? And they're like, well, in life, it's like an ice cream, you know. There's in a room of 100 people, there'll be 33 people who you like. You can, you know, you sit and eat ice cream with, and, you know, they're your people. You get on with them, you can yarn to them. You know, you stop on the street and you know, go for a coffee, or, you know, they're your third of things. The next third of people are your acquaintances. You know, you might be friends on Facebook, or you wave at them, or you know them, and, you know, they're people that you know, you acknowledge that you know, and you no harm done. Then there's the bottom, well, not the bottom, the other third, which are people that just aren't your cup of tea. And, you know, you're just not ever going to get on with them. But that is absolutely normal. And so every time you see people, and, like, people really worry. I mean, there's a lot of people who, and my children, I tell this to all the time, is don't worry about the people that don't like you. Because for every one of them, there's two people that do. And you can't waste your energy on people that you just aren't in your sphere. And it's, so I'm always thinking about that, and, you know, and people always say to me, you know, no, but everybody likes you. Well, you like everybody. It's like, not necessarily. I said, some people, you know, I just, you know, you've got to accept that you're just not going to get on with. And so I was a bit aware of that in this room, was thinking, oh, you know, who are the people I'm going to get on with and who aren't? And it's like, that was quite overwhelming at the start, but I don't think it even got to that. I don't think it even, I'd be able to pick five, but I think you just have to accept that people are different and that different, you put your energies into that 33% that you get on with. And if you can do that, then your life is so much richer. And not to put, I think I see so many people putting energy into the 33 that they don't get on with, or that don't get them. And it's like, that's fine. They've got 66% of other people that they get on with. Leave them to those people. Don't waste your time on them. And so OMP for me was a real eye-opener in the sense of just being around people that work in different industries and just love listening to their stories. I learned so much. And I loved the way it was set up in the sense of there was some bit of work, you know, but it wasn't like, I'm not a big person for doing homework.
Yeah, homework.
but I didn't ever find anything that we did a struggle. I just found it as like just doing what I do. Mm-hmm. So it was just putting on paper or plating or sharing. And so that was really good. And yeah, I loved speakers. I loved hearing from people. And some of them were relevant, some of them weren't, but that didn't matter. Yeah. And I think most of it. And yeah, the joy of the giggles at dinner afterwards about who we heard that day and who we didn't.
Yeah.
And I think there was a lot more taken out of it than the 8 hours a day we're sitting in the chairs.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it was just really, really awesome for that reason. But yeah, just that urgency to think about what you're actually doing every day. And some people literally just drift through. And, you know, I came back to work and I was really, really careful not to come back in like a bowl of china shop.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody wants to see, you know, someone's just come back hot off the heels of a conference or something.
Yeah.
That was my goal, was to like manage my information and integrate it back into my day-to-day rather than just sort of being hot one day and then forgetting about by day two.
Mm.
So it's a continuation for me that it's not all happening on the first day back. It's something I want to do all the time and I keep working on, and it needs to be kept working on. And yeah, so there's a few things that I got out of that in that sense. But
yeah, that's huge. And also just going back, that concept of sort of the thirds is really cool. I hadn't thought about it like that. And there's, for everyone that doesn't click with you, there's two that do. So
And for that one, they've got two other people that click with them that they should be concentrating on, so don't worry about them.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's really important. And yeah, I think that we do get really hooked up on the bottom third or things. And it's like, that's, I guess it's where my positive mindset comes from. But I don't try to let, I surround myself with positive people, as I say. And that's the people I want to be around. And that's the people that I can bond with or have an impact on. That's what it's all about. You know?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, so.
Very, very cool. For you, how has the Ice House sort of unlocked that bigger sense of community? You know, you've talked about in terms of like industries and being open to new industries, but you know, you've come to conference events, things like that.
Absolutely. I must admit, I was probably a bit of a quiet achiever in the world of business when I went in the sense that, you know, that I was very tunnel visioned on my own business and just what we do and whatever. Now I'm a bit more, I feel like I try to understand a bit more. I appreciate other people's businesses and what they do and things as well. I read a lot more. I listen to other people's things. I would never have gone to listen to a podcast or anything like that. I would never. I guess taking more of an interest in business in general has been probably my biggest win from it. I've changed from being very, as I said, that television of my own world to the whole world now.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to encourage other people's, I champion other people now as well and see what they're doing, go, well, that's really cool. And it's funny, I get phone calls from people now who say, oh, you know, someone from the ISIS says, you know, I rank here and she knows about this or whatever, and I find myself sort of networking without trying, and I love that stuff. You know, that's my jam. I love somebody ringing up and saying, hey, what do I do about this? I'm like, yay, I can help with that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, if someone says, oh, what are you good at? I'm like, I don't know, but I'm really good at telling other people what to do. But yeah, I love the networks that I've found, and just being, you know, I walk into a room of people that I respect and actually feeling the respect back. And I think, you know, I guess it's confidence that you gain from it, is that, you know, you can walk in and hold your head up high and you know, you've got nothing to hide. You can get out there and you know, celebrate your wins and celebrate and, you know, share your losses and there's somebody who's going to listen. And that's what I've loved most about the community and what I've learned from Ice House. And it doesn't end, you know. You can choose how you go, and some people might, you know, just close the door at the end of OMP and tick it off. But you know, I can see that that's not the normal. I can see from when going to conference last year, you know, someone's like, oh, I'm OMP 15. I'm like, how long ago is that? You know, and it's like, you know, you're still as fresh as a daisy in the group, and you know, I'm just a baby. And yeah, and that passion doesn't leave. And it's like, if that passion doesn't leave, then it's something to be said about the community itself.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I think that's really cool.
It is cool, and I love that thought, you can choose. Because, yeah, you could choose to finish it there and move on. Absolutely. But there are lots of options, you know, to step into if you want to choose the way of keeping connected to the community.
Absolutely. And I think, great. I guess, in the sense of that most people that enter it in the first place don't enter it lightly. They're, you know, they've got they're in it for the long haul. And it's, yeah. And I don't think I even thought about that at the start. I honestly thought, to me, it was just 5 months.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that I would get my certificate at the end and, you know, job done. And I think initially that's exactly what you think when you go into it. You don't actually realise the impact that it's going to have. Well, you'd hope you get some impact. And you know, I guess sometimes I think my business partner must look at me and go, what did you learn at ISAS again? Mm-hmm. Have you changed? Like, I think I have, but and I don't think I should have to, you know, prove it to him, you know, on a daily basis, but I know in my mind where I'm going and things as well.
You know you have.
And, I guess that was the thing. It was about being the best I can be. And that was a step in that process. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And like you said, you're an alumni for life, right? So you can come along to any event and things, and that value continues. It's funny you say OMP15, the event we're going to tonight at Boxman Group. Matt Charles, he was on OMP15, which is 2007.
Exactly.
Which is like...
That was the year I bought my business.
Yeah, oh, was it? Wow.
So, yeah.
So. Wow. Yeah. So to think, you know, it's still a big part of it, hosting an alumni tour tonight.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's pretty magic, to be honest, when you're working with... Or just meeting so many different types of people from so many different industries.
Absolutely.
With long histories there, so that's cool to hear.
The most ironic thing of that is I went to the Christmas party down here last year.
Oh, yes,
I walked in there, and the first person, other than Ray, when he jumped on me, calls me Miss Augustine. She's awesome. So after seeing the girls, as I call them, the first person walked in, I thought, I know that person. I thought, gosh, how do I know that guy? And I was like, oh my gosh, reality check. It was my surgeon, the guy who took my melanoma off. And he walked in the door and he's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I've just started OMP 62, whatever it was.
Was that Jesse?
Yeah.
Oh, how cool.
So there you go. And it's like, how crazy is that? It's like, part of that journey always seems to intertwine and come back.
Yes.
You know, and that's... Little did he know that I was sitting outside his office the day I got the call from Gareth.
Wow.
And there he was sitting in ice. I'm like, holy. And then 5 minutes later, I said to him, you know that I've just employed your daughter. And he goes, she's working for you this summer. And I'm like, yeah, I've just employed your daughter for summer. Well, she's only, she's doing pharmacy and she's only for summer vacation. So she's working for me. So it's like, it's just such a small world.
And, that's amazing. But
you know, and I just like, and I said to, obviously, I think they're just finishing, so this weekend they have their graduation.
That's right.
And I said to his daughter yesterday, or Monday at work, I said, Dad's just graduation this weekend. And I said, tell him it's not the end.
Oh, that's so cool.
So,
that's so cool.
It's really exciting. It's just crazy, like,
I think he's coming tonight too, so that's cool. Yeah. But that's exactly it. It's just the power of that community, obviously close to my heart, but... I love hearing about it in these conversations too, because it's just that whole business community at play. And one thing I want to touch on that you said is that it helps you to sort of get out of the tunnel vision of just your business and actually find a new passion for business as a whole.
Absolutely.
And I think that's quite an exciting idea, because business can be hard too, and you can kind of feel like crammed in with all the things going on in your world, but how exciting can it be when you can be inspired by others that are doing great things?
Absolutely. And it's just you think that you know, and I think that's something I talked about with my business partner. He goes, we don't need any help, I know how to run my business. I know I'm the best person for my business, I know everything about that. I'm like, that's really cool, but I'm the different person here. I don't know, I mean, I know my business, but I don't know everything about my business, and I don't know how to get the best. I don't know how to get the best out of my business, and that's where I need help. And so I've now got a business strategy consultant and such that I work with, who just literally challenges me and says, you know, but what do you want to do? No, but what do you want to do? You know, and just can really make my brain think outside the box, and just constantly says, you know, who are your customers? I'm like, blah, blah, blah. No, that's your demographic. You've just listed a list, but who are your customers? You know, and just makes me constantly think about what I'm doing. You know, some days you just you feel like you're doing the same old and same old, you know, and you're smiling at people in the shop and you're selling this and that. But other days you just want to do that little bit extra.
Mm.
And because the little bit extra for somebody else repays itself 10 times over to you. And, you know, it's like you just do that bit more for them, but you feel 10 times better and as well. So I try and do that literally, you know, that thing of, you know, being 1% better, but it's like you're doing that little bit extra every day. And, you know, it helps other people, but it also helps me, you know. That's, yeah, you just always look forward, don't look back.
Yeah. Oh, I could talk to you for a whole nother hour. Seriously, I could. I could talk to you for such a long time.
I did pass talking 101.
I love it. I'm going to finish with this question. What personal and professional goals are you currently working towards?
It's a great question because I really thought about that, particularly in the last 12 months. And so personally, I left Ice House going, you know, I could get all tied up in work, but I also need to really look after myself. I wasn't the one who got up and went for the walks with Liz in the morning. I made a really good excuse why I couldn't. I don't do hillies, I don't do mornings. I, you know, was first to drink at the bar afterwards or whatever, and it's like, actually, I need to look after me. And I'm going to be 50 this year, and I want to be fab at 50, so that was my aim. So near the end of last year, I'm like, it's not going to happen unless I make it happen. So my personal well-being has become a priority. And I'm currently in the middle of a 7-week challenge with my gym, doing that. So just that's like basic personal well-being,
yeah,
and like,
love it.
You know, exercise and nutrition. But I also want to do what if I see something I want to do this year, I'm going to do it. So if I want to jump on a plane with my kids to Fiji, I'm going to go. If I want to go to a concert, I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, you know, wear the shoes, eat the cake, kind of story. So that's my personal thing this year, is that I want to empower myself by not making excuses, by doing things I want to do. And if somebody doesn't want to come along for the ride, then I'll go my own, so to speak. But, you know, it's far more fun when you can bring someone along on the ride. And, I just keep up my... doing those fun things in life. So that's my personal goal. And I think if you can get them right, as I said before, then your business and other goals all go into that as well. Because, like, when we're talking about my 5-year and 10-year goals, those goals around business are totally intertwined with my personal goals.
Yeah.
So, you know, am I trying to build a fortune? Am I trying to build something, you know, they want to, there's a saleable product, or is it something I want to, you know, do I want to be working when I'm 70? Do I want to be living beside the beach, reading books, doing consultancy? Do I, you know, what is the dream?
Yeah.
And what's the reality? And then finding this match somewhere along the middle. So yeah, I'm working really hard on that strategy. And when opportunities are arising, I'm just trying, you know, whether it be personal or work ones, I'm just jumping on them. I'm not sitting back anymore. I just want to make sure that if there's an opportunity out there to do something that I'm interested in, I'm just going to do it.
Wow.
So that's, yeah, my growth strategy. It should be not growth for my waistline, but growth for my brain these days. So
wow,
that's the trick of it all. But yeah, there's some cool things in the workplace I'm thinking about. And, you know, we did an acquisition last year, which I laughed when everybody talked at OMP about acquisition. I went, ha, pharmacy doesn't do acquisition. I was the first person in our whole group that did acquisition.
That's awesome.
We bought out 2 pharmacies in a week.
Wow.
Long story, but yeah, so it was like, and I never would have let myself do stuff like that last year. It's like, no, this is I now have end goals and I have visions, and, you know, I've had amazing people that have offered their time and effort from OMP that have said, you know, they talk to me about it, you know. Lee Maddox from Frank Accounting just says, I'm on the phone whenever you want me. You know,
amazing.
That's just amazing. And so, you know, and somebody else will ring me and say, hey, look, someone from ISIS said, you know, that you need this, you know, I can help you with that and whatever. So it's been really cool. But yeah, networks and connections have suddenly become like really, really important. And the importance of just humanity, like being human. Mm-hmm. We're not just numbers, we're not just emails, we're not, it's like just keeping it human, because you don't talk to your bank manager, they don't know who you are. You don't talk to your accountant, they don't know who you are.
Yeah.
You're still a human, you're not just a name. And just keeping those relationships is something that I want to work on. And
wow.
Just
be human. I love that.
Be human. Because at the end of the day, we're the human race, we're not the digital race.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah.
Honestly, Wow, I really am taken back by that conversation and just your realness in it. So thank you so much. And I want you to know that we love having you part of the community.
I love being part of it. It's awesome.
And you really do just spark joy in people when they see you. And so, yeah, thank you for what you put in just as much as, you know, you get out. Yeah. Thanks so
much. I might
much.
Not be the one in the pink dress in the Boxman tour tonight, but you never know. I might wear something brighter, but it may not be Hovers.
Yeah, I love it. But thank you for your time. Thanks for being on the podcast and sharing your story.
You're amazing too, Brian. Appreciate it very, very much.
Mm-hmm.